telling me about the Hemlock Society and how he was a member of it. I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, Art. That's not good. And he said, and so anyway, he talked about that. He was very liberal in his religious views. And but we got to know him. He'd come to the ladies' prayer meeting. There used to be a bunch of ladies that would meet here on Tuesday mornings. And he would come to that, and he said, and he would just love to be around. He'd love to hear the women pray. And so here he was, this guy, you know, signed up for the Hemlock Society because he was going to go out on his time and not anybody else's time, and no one was going to tell him what to do. There's this, you know, this was his life. But you know, I took his funeral, and I had met with him prior to that, and he knew the Lord with all of it. Jesus came, not religion. He had enough. He was a very, very clever man, but it was Jesus that broke through. You know, he had a massive stroke, and the coroner said he would be dead before he hit the floor. I thought, what a surprise for him, right? As I was saying, clunk. But it was Jesus. And another friend of his, he said, you know, I could see what happened. He said, God was working on Art, and he was working on the inside out. And I said, yeah, that's true. Jesus changed Art's direction. Where he was making choices for himself, all of a sudden now the Lord, bang, comes in. And everyone who knew Art knew that something had happened in his life. Right, and he was in his, maybe close to 90. So I'm saying, you know, there's a kind of a cramming for the finals feeling about this thing, but it's a good thing. But it happened. And I saw it happen, and you saw it happen if you knew him, if you were close to him at all. So Jesus changed Art's, all the direction of his life. And I can hardly wait to see him again. We drank coffee, and I won't get into it. I'll be here all day. See, the point of it is, though, here is, we can't change ourselves. Would that we could. But we can't change ourselves. That's the problem. We don't have the ability. We don't have the power. It's power to change. But if you don't have that power, then what are you stuck with? And so that, you can't change by yourself. And you can try so many different things. But when the question comes, what is the source of a changed life? What is the source of a changed life? The answer? Well, it's not more services. It's an encounter with Jesus. That's what will change. That's what will change. That's the source of this thing. Again, not more services, not more do. But in fact, this is just the opposite. This is done. He died for us. He rose again. He has the power to forgive us and the power to set us free. And he will come into your life, and he will change. Sometimes dramatically, other times not so dramatic, but steady. And sure as anything. So it's a person. You know, here's the interesting thing. When God created us, he made us to fly. Right? This life is supposed to be rich and powerful because of the power of God in your life at work. And so if we're meant to fly, well then no wonder Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This abundant life he came, so there would be a power to change, a power that we could forgive, a power that things can really reverse around. I was just thinking of you for some reason earlier this morning. I don't know why. Then he came over and gave me a hug. But you know, I remember him telling me something, that he said, you know, he was really hated religion. He hated Islam, he hated Christianity, he hated it all, and he taught his family how to hate them. He says, don't get involved in religion. You remember Mo telling me that? And he was so successful that they didn't embrace anything. And what does the Lord do? So here is this atheistic or agnostic, I don't know what you would have been, and Jesus just comes into his life and bang! And he gets born again. Now how is he going to explain? How are you going to explain it now? Here's a guy that hates religion and is agnostic in nature, and the Lord just said, watch this, bang, and wins him to himself. One fell swoop comes into his life, and we've seen the fruit of your life, brother. It's really remarkable. But Jesus did that. You could not have changed him. I could not have changed him. He had convictions and, you know, just hating religion. I think I know a bit of how that works for people. And it's really a destroyer. But it was, that's what the Lord did. Well, if you're maybe getting this, I could go through this audience, even here in this first service, and say, that person was changed, that person was changed, that person was changed. They used to do this and this and this. Now they don't do that anymore. The Lord has broken into their life. And gave what? Gave them power to change. That's the beauty of it. So, what is today's big idea? If I could leave you with one big idea, what would it be? That Jesus, because he rose from the dead, has power to change us from the inside out. I'll be phoning my sister later today, because I always phone her on Easter Sunday. She might say that's the only time I ever phone, but it's not true. But I'll be phoning her because when we were just teenagers in a little town in the prairies, we both experienced Jesus. We didn't go to church. We didn't attend church. My parents just were kind of in survival mode. They didn't really get to some of those greater things that people are supposed to aspire to. They didn't. But this guy came to our town and led her to the Savior, and led me to the Savior. I've told that story so many times, you're probably weary of it, but it's not wearisome to me, because the Lord just broke in and touched her. You could listen to the call, if I could pipe it through here, and I'd say, hey, it's great that what the Lord did in our lives, so many, because Easter was one of the services we remember going to as believers. Two teenage kids walking out, everybody else going the opposite direction, but not for ourselves. We experienced the Lord. And that was like an anchor in our lives. You know, that who knows? I'd be down at the airport chanting. I have a kind of an addictive personality, and I know where I would be. I would be a long ways away in the wrong direction, going the wrong way. And I would mean well. Because I didn't ever want to hurt people. I just wanted to help people if I could. Yeah, ironic, isn't it, how that all worked out? But it's. I'll phone her and say, what's the big idea in your life this day that you can bring? What is that? And she'd say that the Lord came into our heart. I said, exactly, mine too. And how can you do that? Could anybody else? No, just the Lord. Just the Lord. Changing us from the inside out. So we can ask Paul, the great apostle, what happened to him? He was riding along on that chariot or that horse. And he gets knocked to the ground, and he's laying on the ground, this bright light. And he said, who is this? And he said, it's Jesus. Isn't that great? It's Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's him. What else could change him? Just the Lord. Knocks him to the ground. Of course, we know most of our Bible was written by him. We could talk to Peter, who was more interested in fishing for men than he was winning souls, but then becomes the great fisherman. I think of John. John, he describes, everybody said, I knew him. I knew him well. And these are firebrands plucked from the fire. And so I think, what is it when you talk to people, if we were to have conversations going on, what would people say that we need? I find this quite interesting, because I think it's the same right across. You could, no matter how much you interview with people, this would come back to this again. The number one thing that people ask about is, how can I be happy? It's huge. It's the question. I just want to be happy. I want out of my marriage. I just want to be happy. As long as I'm happy. That is a great call. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy. And that's what most people, that's the first thing that they want. Secondly, I think most people desire to find meaning in life. It's not just being happy, but that there's some kind of meaning. Now, why are we doing what we're doing? Is there any rhyme or reason to it? Are we just doing what we're doing forever, and what's the point? That's just, I think everybody wants that. That's just a universal thing, that you find meaning in life. And if you can't find meaning in life, and that's why people, they'll be, think about New Age, for example, is that it circles back and forth. So when somebody buys into that, they're into that transcendental meditation or something, a little while later they'll come through again because it just didn't sustain. There was meaning in life for a while, but then that became old hat. And same old, same old, same old, there's got to be something better than this. And then they'll search, and if they come to just religion without experiencing Jesus, then they'll be searching yet again for something else. They say, well, I tried Christianity, I tried this. But it's not about Christianity, it's about the Savior Jesus, the living person. So why are we doing what we're doing? What a good question. What's the point? Because if this didn't really happen 2,000 years ago, Jesus rises from the dead. If it didn't happen, why are we even here? Why don't we go over to the black bear? It would make more sense. Right? It would make far more sense to us. Because it's got to be better than what you've experienced. So to find meaning. Who am I? And what in the world am I doing here? How does that come about? We point them to the Lord. Freedom to overcome the darkness in my life. I have had actually a lot of people who we start talking about relationship to God, and pretty soon they'll start talking about this dark part of their life, that these things they were into and these occultic travels that they were doing. And now it's kind of come home to roost, and they said, this is kind of a fear thing. It says, I can't sleep at night because I have this great fear. And this person's 35 years of age, and they talk about the darkness in their life. And I thought, if you didn't have something to present, right, who's going to lift the darkness, the demonic darkness off somebody's life? Who here says, you wouldn't be able to? They'd opened themselves. I think most demons come in through consent or through permission. And so the craziness and the parties and everything and just the weird, strange things they've been involved in, they had demonized themselves. And again, what do we present? What is it that we can tell somebody? There's only one name that will break them out. Right? There's just one. And if you don't have that, it's not going to happen. I'd bet on that. So freedom to overcome the darkness in your life and the bondage in your life. Carl could tell how he drifted from faith just to doing his own thing. A man for all seasons and all reasons ends up being a chronic alcoholic through no plan of his own. And who was it that broke back into it? It was Jesus. The living one, the one who's alive. How beautiful, how powerful. See, I think there's another thing that people ask about and crave for. They'll say it this way, there's just something missing. I don't know what it is, but there's something missing in my life. I've got a lovely family. I've got money in the bank. I've got, things have lined up. My ducks have lined up really quite well. Then why, if that's true, if I've got everything the world says makes you happy, how come I'm so unhappy? How come I'm so unhappy? What a question, isn't it? And what are we going to say? Because you're drinking from the wrong fountain. And that's the truth. You're not ever going to have, you're going to be thirsty again. He who drinks of this water shall thirst again. Yes, indeed. But he said, I give unto you water that will, a drink that you will never thirst again. Never imagine, never thirst again. That's the promise to the living Christ promises to you that if you invite him into your life, you will thirst no more. You will not be thirsty ever again. And that's true. Absolutely true. That doesn't mean there's not areas of your growth that still need to take place. Of course there are. But it's not the same like it used to be in the days of despair. Remember the days of despair. So the bondage, the darkness, something missing from your life. So here's the question. How do I get rid of the emptiness of my heart? I have an empty heart. How that aches. And how about this one? Or just recently somebody said to me, you know how I feel about this, Owen? I'll tell you how I feel about it. I hate my life. Yeah, I said, I know. I hate my life. Imagine that. Getting up every morning, not sure why, but doing what everybody does. One more round on the wheel. And looking in the mirror and said, I hate my life. What are you going to say to that person? What measure of healing have you got? Well, I know this, if you don't know the Lord, you don't have anything to offer, and neither do I. But again, the big idea for today is what? Is that He's alive. He is alive. And He has power to heal. If we didn't, we'd have nothing. Right? Maybe here's a counseling course. That might help a little bit. It'll help you cope, but it won't bring you freedom. That joy where Carl says today, he says, I may be dancing before this is over. Me too. Me too. Why? We're not putting a show on. It's just that's how it feels now. To know the Lord and the joy of the Lord and to walk in the freedom and see Jesus break things off our life. How glorious is that? So the question, how can I have a personal, how can I have a personal relationship with this one who rose from the dead 2,000 years ago? Because He's alive today. He's not in the tomb. He's alive. And so, I think what we have to be wary of, that it's not just a Sunday thing, that I'm going to church now. I don't think that can sustain itself very well. It has to be much more powerful. You need an encounter with Jesus. I mean, I'm glad you're coming to church. What pastor wouldn't want you here? Every pastor would want you here. But that's not the answer, and you'll go home thirsty. But if you come to the Savior, then you'll have something very powerful. It's not filling myself up with religious activity. It's this relationship where I can talk to Him and praise His name and ask Him for help and have Him touch me when I'm discouraged and to pour His Spirit into my heart. Yes, that's another whole dimension we can talk about. But not filling myself up with religious activity, but a personal relationship. I keep saying personal, but I'm saying it on purpose. Because He is as real as you. He will come and talk to you. He'll put His hand upon you. He will deliver you or save you or heal you, whatever it is. He is here to minister to us. So He rises from the dead with full of power. Oh, my goodness. Full of power. How wonderful. And we're able to say, God loves you and created you. This is the truth. He loves you and created you to know Him personally. Personally. Not in a religious way, but in a heartfelt way that you can't deny it, that the Lord has broken in. So 40 years later, as I phoned my sister to see how she's doing, we'll talk about that again, about the events that led up to our encounter with Jesus. And it didn't just fade away. You know how most things fade away? It was kind of exciting for a while, but then it kind of fades away. This is 40 years later. And I can honestly say it's better now than it was when it started. Wow. So God loves us, created us to know Him personally. A personal religion, a personal relationship, not a religion. And so the question is, how can I have a relationship with God through Jesus? And I just wrote out a couple of things. Pretty simple. And I hate even saying it this way because it sounds like a formula. And this is anything but a formula. But it sounds a bit like, because I'm listing off his points. But I don't want you to miss anything. In a prayer like this. I wrote it my prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross. That's the starting point. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. Number two. Lord, I confess those things that aren't pleasing to you, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me from everything I've ever done. Jesus, can I just pause on that? Lord, forgive me and cleanse me from anything I've ever done. He will forgive you this morning for everything you've done wrong, past, present, and future. It's unbelievably wonderful. Doesn't matter what you've done. If you come to him and say, I need you, Jesus, to forgive me because I can't seem to forgive myself. Come, just come to him and watch what he's able to do. Number three, right now, in the best way I know, I open the door of my heart. Can I pause? I think this is the secret right here. You have to open the door of your heart. It's not, that's the secret of it. You just say, Lord, so whacked up. I'm just so mixed up. But I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. I trust you as my Lord. As I open the door of my heart and my life, I trust you as my Lord and my Savior. Change me, Lord. Yes. Change me from the inside out. Set me free from every kind of bondage. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life. Oh, there it is. It's to thank him. He'll come in, but you have to ask him. Thank you for coming into my life. Give me today, on this resurrection day, give me power to change. I can't do it myself. I can't break through. I can't change enough. It's going to take 1,000 years, and then I may not even be free. So thank you, Lord, for coming into my life. Give me the power to change. Fill me with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Stand, please, if you would. I think we're going to have a little bit of time. I'm just going to lead us in a little prayer. If you're here today, it's much more than a prayer, but maybe we can start here. If you want Jesus to come into your life, if you need power to change, when I pray this prayer, just make it yours. He's not far away. He's just within a breath. But you have to open your heart. It just doesn't come any other way. That's all he's required. Open your heart. Open your heart. If your heart's open, he'll hear that cry. And this will be the beginning of change. It's not, I'm still in the process of being changed. Attitudes, conducts, all kinds of things. And he's a loving, caring father that when you invite him to come, when you draw near, he will draw near to you. You can be sure. You can be absolutely sure of that. And so I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And this is just for that person that maybe has come and said, I'd like to invite Christ into my life. I just don't know what to do, how to start this. This is the start. There'll be other little steps. You might want to come to that encounter thing that we were just advertising here. That could be step two, but it just may be one step today. That you say, I went to church at Valley Church, and I just did one thing. I just invited Jesus to come into my heart. And the Lord, he is so desirous to save you, to save me. He is so anxious to bring about power in your life. He roared from the grave, the power of God, that no matter what problem you have, whatever issue you have, I know that he will not forsake you. You cry out to him today and mean it with all your heart. He will come. If you take one step, he's taken 100. And he's roaring towards you to save you, set you free, change you, whatever it is that needs the most amount of change. But I know it starts in our hearts. So if you want to just join me, that would be fine. And we'll make it a joint prayer here together. But just quietly, from your head or from your heart, doesn't matter, he hears all of it. So, dear Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm opening the door of my heart. Please come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive me for all the things that are wrong in my life that are displeasing to you. I can't change myself. I don't know what to do. So I'm asking you not to turn me away, but to make me a child of God. I surrender myself to you. Forgive me for anything that needs to be forgiven. I come to you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Write my name, Lord, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I am your child. I give myself to you here today. Come in. Take control. I surrender all to you. Change me. Please. Please, Lord. Please change me. Show your power to me. Bring healing to me. Bring forgiveness to me. Get rid of the hate in me, Lord. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the desire to die. Help me to start again. Bring about everything that's needed. And I'll serve you and live for you. Here's my life. I offer it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be around here after the service. If you need to come and chat with somebody, I promise I won't follow you home. Kind of creepy, isn't it, thinking that? That guy with the Bible behind you. But if you prayed that prayer, I'm serious, I would be so thankful to pray with you. So praise the Lord. We're glad you're here this morning.
All right. Well, we've got 5 people to baptize today. Uh-oh. And if you're new, maybe if you haven't been a part of a church, maybe you're visiting, you're wondering what this is all about. Really, this is a public declaration of these people saying that they want to serve Jesus and follow Jesus, and they want to tell you all that that's what they want to do. And the symbolism is that when we put them under the water, it symbolizes their death with Christ, and when they come back up, it's their new life in Christ. And so it's an exciting time, and we're looking forward to this. So, guys, you can come out. And the first one is Nathaniel. So, Nathaniel, come on in.
Church. My name is Nathaniel Kaczynski. I am here because I have truly accepted Christ as my Savior. I grew up in a Christian family. My whole life I have always believed in God. But in this past year I had amazing changes in my life. It started from Soul Check, the youth program that we have here at Valley Church. I really enjoyed it and the first time I came, and the words that I heard from God about God from Pastor Luke really helped me build on my relationship and faith with God. I feel that I have more of a personal relationship with God now. I also feel very privileged being able to join the youth worship team there. It's amazing how far I've gotten with God this past year, and I can't wait to see what else He has in store for me. I'm so blessed that I am able to be standing here about to get baptized. I'm about to give up my old life and start a new life here with God. Before I end, I would like to give a big thank you to Pastor Luke for taking the time and effort to share the Word of God every week with the youth. I would like to thank Marcos, my Sunday school teacher, for also sharing the Word of God. I would also like to thank Krisha for always encouraging and helping me out so I can become a better part of the worship team. And I would also like to thank my parents for encouraging and supporting my decision today. Thank you.
Well, she doesn't need any introduction. This is Michaela Bejent. She's been... So I'm going to turn it to her.
Yeah, you know my name. So I gave my heart to Christ when I was, like, really little. It must have been, like, around 4. And my mom, she, like, prayed the prayer with me and stuff. But it wasn't really until I was, like, 14, I think, and I went on my first mission trip that I started to understand the weight of what that meant. And... how growing up in the church, I kind of always just taken it for granted. It was also around that time that my mistakes had started to seem a bit less forgivable to myself, and I desperately wanted God's forgiveness. So it hit me pretty hard when I began to understand the depth of his love and his acceptance for me. So I'm going to get baptized today to just show the world that I'm in love with Jesus, and I intend to follow him all the days of my life.
Amen. All right, this is Jared Bejent.
Yeah. Hi, so I was born into a Christian home and raised to love and serve the Lord. I first gave my heart to Jesus when I was around 8 years old at VBS, and since then I've had many, many people encouraging me and helping me through my walk with Christ. During these past 2 years, I've gone on 2 youth mission trips, and they've greatly strengthened my relationship with Jesus. I'm getting baptized today because I want to declare my love for Christ and show that it is my intention to follow him for the rest of my life.
Amen. Yeah. This is Kyle Bejent. This is the third Bejent today, and it's fantastic. So here you go, Kyle.
I have had the wonderful privilege of having an amazing family and being born into this wonderful church that has raised me to love and follow the Lord. I accepted Jesus as my Savior in my early years of VBS, and I'd love to thank this church for having that amazing camp every summer that has led so many to the Lord. Since I truly decided to follow Jesus, I've been becoming a better person, and he has been helping me to become more and more like him. Today I'm getting baptized not to be saved, but because I am saved. The Lord my God has loved me with a love greater than I can imagine, so I intend to love him with all my heart, follow him to the end. Today I choose to be born again.
Amen. All right, this is Gabrielle. Gabrielle.
Good morning. I am standing here today in front of you to proclaim my faith and obedience to Jesus. I was born to a Christian family. My parents decided to dedicate me to the Lord when I was 6 months old, and I'm sure some of you has witnessed that day. Today, my parents made sure it would be my decision to do this. My mom told me that it was in her heart that I would be baptized, but allowed me to decide on my own if I really wanted to do so. Why do I want to be baptized? Am I ready for this? Today I want to be baptized because I want to put my old self to death and start a new beginning of living my life for the Lord. I know I may not be ready if I will consider my spiritual life, but I feel that is the right time as soon as I will be in high school, and I will be able to hold onto the truth that I belong to Christ and the decision I made to following him.
Amen.
I want my life to be a living testimony of God's people. I want to serve the Lord in any way I can, and I will follow whatever path God has in store for me with a newfound joy in my heart, because I know that God will be there for me.
Amen. Amen. Woo!
All right, we want to pray over these guys. They have their whole lives ahead of them, and God's got some great plans, great plans. So I'm going to ask Owen to pray, because I'm going to probably cry. I've watched all these guys grow up, and you know, so I'll turn it over to Owen, and then he can probably get through it.
Stan, let's pray. Let's really pray for these guys. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for what we witnessed here this morning. The clear testimony, the honesty that really touches us. We thank you, Lord, that these young people love you. They've announced it here this morning, and we just say, Father, put your hand upon each one. Lord, I pray, let that just increase in fervor. Yes. May they grow stronger and stronger, filled with the Spirit, yes, used of you. Lord, I pray you keep your hand upon each one, and they'd be blessed in their going out and blessed in their coming in. We pray, Lord, that you protect them from the evil one who would seek to sift them and to discourage them. We pray a strong encouragement over them. And we pray, Lord, that we'll just see them around the church here, and we'll know that they're going on in you. I pray, Lord, that not one will be lost here, lost in the world or anywhere else. I just pray that they would just be going from strength to strength and from glory to glory. Spirit of God, come upon them now, we pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, put your hands toward them. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, fill them to overflowing. And may this be long remembered in their minds as the morning they stood in front of everyone and said, I have decided to follow Jesus. Thank you for them, Lord. We cherish them. And we ask you now to use them for the kingdom's purposes. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Yes, amen.
All right. Well, I think there are some burgers out on the patio. So may God richly bless you. He is risen. Yeah, okay.